Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house as we're privileged to offer worship to God this Lord's Day morning. Would like to call your attention to the announcements that are there in your bulletin. You'll notice on the announcement page that we have information about the upcoming crop walk this next Saturday, the youth group service project in October, and of course the 2024 giving envelopes. But we also want to highlight that next Sunday, we will be having the Fall Festival at the Thomas's house. Next Sunday, the 15th of October, 4 o'clock, Judy Thomas has recovered from the coronavirus. In fact, she's actually out this weekend visiting with folks in her own hometown. And please remember next Sunday afternoon to bring your favorite dish as a side dish or a dessert, and of course, lawn chair, so you might have opportunity to sit with other folks and be in fellowship around that bonfire. And I think we finally have broke that heat, you know, so hopefully we're going to have a wonderful cool afternoon to enjoy that bonfire. Chris Martinson is offering personal portrait Christmas ornament cutouts and asking for your donation to the church in lieu of any personal payment. Further information and a picture of those cutouts is available there in the bulletin announcement page. And as always, we genuinely are appreciative of your resources provided to the church's food pantry, and those items for the month are listed there. And we want to celebrate the fact that I have found out this morning that this is Ryan's birthday. So we're going to sing happy birthday to you, Ryan. Let's do that. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ryan. Happy birthday to you. But we're still going to have you work on your birthday, Ryan, as we ask you to lead us in our call to worship. May we stand, please?
That was your audition. Rehearsals next Wednesday at 6:30.
For choir, right?
Thank you for standing for the call to worship this morning. Praise the Lord.
With all my heart, I will thank the Lord and the assembly of his people.
How wonderful are the things the Lord does.
All who are delighted with them want to understand them.
All he does is full of honor and majesty.
His righteousness
is eternal. We'll now sing hymn number 543, All Stanzas of Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
May we pray. Holy and gracious God, on this Lord's Day Sunday morning, we are privileged to acknowledge that you are the supreme creator through whom all of creation exists. Thus, we also pray that we may endeavor to bring honor and glory to your holy name this morning and indeed throughout this new week in all we do and say. For it is in Christ's name that we offer this prayer. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbors.
The social hour. Will the children now come forward for the children's message?
Tell me the stories of Jesus, I love to hear.
things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. We have talked a whole lot about learning to listen better, haven't we? Listening to what God has to say. And we've learned that God usually talks to us quietly, doesn't he? He whispers. So we have to be quiet if we want to hear him. Don't put that in your mouth. Ew. But after we learn, so have we been learning to listen better? I think so. Because I know you've been listening to me better. But after we learn to listen better, then what? What are we going to do after that? Let's find out what the Bible says about that, shall we? In Proverbs 3:5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." So we need to listen to what the Lord says, and then we need to trust what the Lord is telling us, don't we? Huh. Then what? Then what do we think we're going to do? Let's see what Jesus says about that, shall we? Okay. In John 14:15, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey all that I command." So, what does that mean? That means we need to learn to listen, and we need to learn to trust God. And then we need to obey what God is telling us, don't we? Whether it doesn't matter what anybody else tells us if it's not what God is telling us, right? Yeah, because sometimes people try to tell us to do things that we shouldn't do, huh? Yeah, sometimes. So we have to listen to God, don't we? Yeah. And listen to what Jesus was teaching us. So, let's have a little prayer, shall we? Can we have a prayer? Yeah? Can we fold our hands? Can we have pray hands? Oh, I see. Losing your little bow. It's amazing the things that I repair. Here. There we go. Okay. There you are. All right, can we have prayer hands? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for these beautiful children. We thank you for this glorious day and the beauty of the changing colors in the fall. We ask that you help us to listen, trust the voice that we hear, and obey all of your commandments. We ask that your will be done in all things, Lord, and in Jesus' name we ask, Jesus, please guide us. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we lift up our prayers before God, first of all, a word of celebration as Mary Otto celebrated her 97th birthday this past Thursday. Many of us gathered around with her family members and friends, and also we were delighted to see the number of grandchildren who live in many, many other parts of the country who were calling and visiting with Mary on the phone. Regarding the COVID situation, we're grateful that many in our midst are in the midst of recovery or completely over it, and that's wonderful news. We lift up that Doug and Greg Gentry are now dealing with the virus, and Rita Dyer is also still working through it. Keep them in your prayers. We keep in prayer John and Adams, and also want to lift up that Betty Donahue is looking at some further testing in the days ahead. Susan Hanks is still in the midst of recovery for that neck surgery at home. We do want to lift up Doug Gentry as he is going to see the hematologist middle of this month at the KU Medical Center. We lift up those that will be dealing with the kidney transplant journey here. Randy Squires and Jerry Donahue and Christina's cousin, Chol, who are all three seeking kidney transplants. And among family members and friends, we lift up Kathy Connell's brother, Dennis. We also remember Pam Roberts and Donna Mountjoy, Tony Turner, Anoki Krager, Johnny Sturwalt, Samantha Sander, and of course, Beth Witten as well. Especially as Beth got really good news that the concerns she had are much less of a rheumatoid arthritis concern than she was expecting, right? Lana, we praise God that Beth has got that news, especially as we also keep Samantha in prayer as she's continuing to seek out treatment for her eye concerns. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Holy and gracious God, we are privileged once again to offer you worship and praise this Lord's Day morning. We are privileged to lift up to you the names of dear loved ones and friends, as we know your great compassion and loving presence abides with every one of your children. We find ourselves on many occasions feeling a sense of despair as measures of violence prevail, not only with the war in Ukraine, but even now as Hamas gunmen have entered Israel in yet another deadly conflict, even as we realize how so many throughout the world continue to be at risk of homelessness, injury, and death. With these and so many other circumstances of violent, disorderly, and uncooperative conduct prevailing in our communities, cities, and nations, we so often may feel that our human endeavors are indeed lacking in compassion, discipline, or personal regard for others, and thus are in need, indeed spinning out of control. Yet through it all, may we as people of faith not find ourselves distracted. May we always keep our focus on your divine intervention, and may we find ourselves especially guided by the hope of redemption revealed in Christ Jesus. For as Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, that you give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, even as 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 tells us that Christ leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. In thanksgiving, we offer this prayer as we also recite the prayer that Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh, I praise.
Recently, John Rumi, who plays the part of Jesus in the popular video series The Chosen, shared in a news article that he had reached the point where he was desperate and out of money and even out of food as he struggled in his acting career. It was at that point that he realized he had no other alternative than to completely and wholly rely on his faith and just offer everything up to God in prayer. It was then, as he says, in a matter of hours that his life changed and his financial woes were significantly reduced when he was contacted and cast to play the part of Jesus in this newly forming production called The Chosen. Sharing at the Lord's table every Sunday morning demands and reminds us to remember that Jesus submitted the wholeness of his earthly presence before God as he became the final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of humanity's sin. May we also humbly present ourselves before God for God's purposes as we prepare to receive the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper. As we turn to our communion hymn, it's number 345. We sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5 of My Life, Thy Life Was Given for Me. As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Anna leads us in a word of prayer.
Lord, we gather at this table in remembrance of your Son, who gave himself for the forgiveness of our sins. The cup to remember the blood that was shed and the bread that reminds us of his body that was broken for us. Lord, we ask for your blessing on these emblems so that they will remind us daily of your love for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we welcome you to share this morning. Those of you who watched the Cotton Bowl yesterday between UT and OU may have noticed that the University of Texas has a wide receiver named Xavier Worthy. With the last name of Worthy, you may also have noticed the number chosen for his jersey, the number one. Thus, even from a distance, you can see that Xavier appears to be the Worthy One. Yet, as Christian believers, every Sunday we offer our tithes and offerings for the ministries of the Church of Jesus Christ, for we are certain that our Lord Jesus is truly the most worthy one. As Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth or even under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. With these thoughts in mind, Mary offers a word of prayer for us as we receive our tithes and offerings.
Thank you, dear Lord, for this wonderful day. And as we bring our gifts to you to help support our church and others in need, we wish to say thank you for the gifts and to the givers for today and always. And in your name we pray, amen.
May we stand. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. As I continue this series, I'm going to continue to use the pulpit here because I've heard from some folks that they say they can actually hear me better from the pulpit. And when folks have got difficulty hearing like I do, I know how critically important that is, and so I want to hear from you. You let me know what you think. Can you hear me better from the pulpit as opposed to the lapel mic? I would really like to have your feedback on that as we decide which direction we go, but certainly I know from a back perspective, at least I can lean on this bunch of woodwork up here, you know? although certainly in my own heritage and 40-odd years of ministry, speaking from the floor has just been a tradition of mine a long, long time. scripture text I share with you. First of all, the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. They, meaning Jesus' apostles, still had their eyes fixed on the sky as he, meaning Jesus, went away. When two men dressed in white suddenly stood beside them and said, "Galileans, why are you standing there looking up at the sky? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back the same way that you saw him go into heaven." Certainly a prophecy of Christ's second coming, even as Jesus makes his departure back into the heavenly realm. Then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, the Apostle Paul writes, "Our brothers, we want you to know the truth about those who have died, so that you will not be sad, as are those who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will take back with Jesus those who have died believing in him. What we are teaching you is now the Lord's teaching. We who are alive on the day the Lord comes will not go ahead of those who have died. There will be the shout of command, the archangel's voice, the sound of God's trumpet, and the Lord himself will come down from heaven. Those who have died believing in Christ will raise to life first, and then we who are living at that time will all be gathered up along with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so, we will always be with the Lord. And so then, encourage one another with these words." May we pray. Gracious and holy God, we are indeed comforted by the events of Scripture that remind us that one day your Son will come back to the earth, and he will come triumphant. And indeed, through the rapture, he will assemble all people of faith that we may be with him. For this great reassurance, we give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. In this afterlife sermon series, I focused as much as I have been able to on Scripture that is Jesus telling us what will happen. There's a reason for this, because no one else has more authority than one who's been there, right? When we think about things of the heavenly realm. And Jesus even says of himself in John chapter 3, verse 13, as he's speaking to Nicodemus, "And no one has ever gone up to heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven." So Jesus is the one who's been there, come back, you know, been among us here on earth and gone back. But what we know is that he's going to come again, right? That's what we call the second coming. But what we have learned so far in the first three messages that I've presented to you here is a number of things. I hope this has begun to make sense to you. I'm trying to help you along this journey of comprehension about the afterlife. And if you've missed a Sunday, I would encourage you, go to the church's website, go to that bar at the top of the front page, click on that word sermons, and that'll pop up the dates and the sermon titles for each Sunday, and you can just click on that particular date, and you can see that there will be a sound bar there, and you can click on that sound bar, and it will be a recording of the entire worship service. If you don't want to listen to the whole service, all you have to do is go move that little sound bar until you find the beginning of the sermon. You can start there. But I want you to get the full picture as to what's taking place here. What we've learned so far is that one has the chance to get right with God in Christ even when one is at the last portion of their life, as did the repentant criminal on the cross beside Jesus. As Jesus said in Luke chapter 23, verse 43, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." You know, that's a precious and powerful singular text about the mighty grace of our loving God. All we got to do is reach out and seek Jesus Christ through our confession of faith. It's a simple formula, isn't it? It's so simple. What is the point of resistance when it's so simple and welcoming? When we die, we know our spirits will not sleep. Instead, our spirits will be immediately appearing before the presence of Christ. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 tells us that we will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. At that moment, we will face a type of judgment. And based on our decision to either accept Jesus or reject him as we lived in this earthly form, our spiritual selves are destined to either the temporary spiritual place of paradise with Christ, or our spirits are destined to what is called Hades, again, a place of absence of godliness. And of course, that's what we explored last week in our story about the rich man, again, who was nameless, remember? Nameless rich man, and who? The named poverty-stricken individual, Lazarus, right? So that story portrays that in such a vivid manner. But even as we know that God has a plan for this earthly existence to come to an end with the second coming of Christ, we ask the question, well, okay, what happens next? Well, it's called the second coming, isn't it? And so that's where we're heading for the next few weeks here. Now, I want to make a side note here. From here on out, be aware that there are a multitude of different understandings about the sequence of events and all kinds of different points of agreement or disagreement depending upon what faith group or what teacher or whomever that you're reading about. All I am attempting to do as your pastor is to give you my feeble best attempt to give you a sense as to what I think is the pathway. You may not agree with it. That's fine. Maybe it'll be something different. But you know what? No matter what twists and turns the road takes, as long as we're on the right road, then we know we're going to get there, right? And we also have to affirm that one thing I find is the overarching theme of everything I've studied so far is that when it comes to people of faith, people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when either our life ends here on earth or whether it be the end times, we will be where? With the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ought to be comforting for you. That's what counts. We will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many Christian people and many pastors will shy away from a discussion or any exploration of the second coming. But let's be assured that the pathway is to Christ. I am simply giving you what I think is my best effort, feeble as it may be. So if you say, well, preacher, I don't really agree with that. Well, that's fine. That's fine. You do your research. You do your seeking. But let's understand we're heading to Christ. Now, the word rapture, did you know that it's not even in the Bible? Not even mentioned. Just like, you know, a lot of folks think one of the verses of the Bible is the Lord helps those who help themselves. Heard that? People say, well, the Bible says, no, it doesn't say that. So also the word rapture, even though it's often used by a lot of, evangelical clergy over and over again, it's not in the scriptures. It is a Latin word that means to be carried off or snatched away. And it is the snatching away of the church into the presence of Christ. In the rapture, God snatches away all believers from the earth in order to make way for his righteous judgment to be poured out upon the earth during that seven-year period of tribulation and, of course, that millennial period. Now, again, at this point, I want you to know there are already people who are already going to disagree with that pathway, but that's where I'm taking you, okay? Now, the ascension of our Lord Jesus foretold of the rapture, even as Jesus' apostles were looking up at the sky when Jesus disappeared into the clouds in the ascension. The two angelic hosts said to Christ's disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 11 and onward, "Galileans, why are you standing there looking up at the sky? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go to heaven." Which means, of course, that Christ will appear in victory in the clouds. The Apostle Paul gives us further description in our second reading this morning from 1 Thessalonians. "There will be the shout of command, an archangel's voice, a sound of God's trumpet, and the Lord himself will come down from heaven. And those who have died believing in Christ will raise to life first, and then we who are living at the time will be gathered up along with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be where?" The text says, "with the Lord." Again, one more time we hear Jesus saying, you know, we're going to be with him. You know, Jesus says that to the repentant criminal. Here, Paul is saying, we're going to be with the Lord. That is our reassurance. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52, Paul also tells us that this will be an instantaneous event. When the last trumpet sounds, it will be in the blinking of an eye. Jesus tells us that only God knows when the rapture will take place. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, that no one knows, however, when that day or hour will come. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, the Father alone knows. Now, I find it to be an interesting parallel here. Here, rapture is going to take place in God's time. When God says to Jesus, "Hey, son, now's the time." The parallel we must recognize in the Jewish heritage of Jesus' day is, remember, when was the hour and day of a wedding set among the Jewish people? It was set when the Father said so. Remember, the groom and his groomsmen had to get everything ready. The bride-to-be and her bridesmaid had to get everything together. No one knew the day or hour when the Father would say, "Hey, son, go get your groomsmen. This afternoon is your wedding." Boy, wedding planners would have a tough time with that today, wouldn't they? So would a lot of brides and brides' mothers. But that was the culture of Jesus' day. Isn't that a striking parallel to the notion that when Christ comes back to earth to be reunited with the bride of Christ, the church, the only one who knows is who? God, the Father. I find that to be powerful imagery. But Jesus goes on to say in verses 37 and 39 of Matthew chapter 24 that the coming of the Son of Man will be like what happened in the time of Noah. They did not realize what was happening until the flood came and swept them all away. This is how it will be when the Son of Man comes. And of course, when? In the rapture. Now, the rapture is never mentioned in the Old Testament. It is a revelation of Christ our Lord, and even the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, that this event is a great mystery, a secret truth. It could only be revealed after the ascension of our Lord as he went back up into the heavens to reside among God and angelic beings, if you will. But we know that even in that voice from those angels there at the ascension said, "Hey, he's going to come back exactly in the same way that he left." Notice also that at the rapture, Jesus does not come completely down to the earth. Jesus stepping on the earth happens later and begins the culmination of Christ's second coming. But for now, let's focus on the fact that Jesus comes into the clouds. In the clouds, Jesus assembles those believers who are alive at the time of the rapture, along with those believers who had already died in previous generations. Paul goes and tells us that Paul gives us an image of the dead rising. But what we've already learned from Jesus is that our souls are present with Christ at the time of our death. I think that Paul is simply giving us some imagery of a resurrection. But to think again that our souls are sleeping, I think, is very much contradictory to what Jesus tells us. But imagine the great glory that will be the rapture for the spirits of Christ assembled believers, the assembly of the saints, the assembly of your beloved Christian friends and relatives, along with the saints from centuries past, all gathered with those believers who are present on earth at the time that Christ appears. This is not an event to be feared, for we rejoice in the assurance of our salvation in Christ Jesus. Meeting Jesus and other beloved people of faith will be more joyous than any other homecoming event, family reunion, or being once again with your most beloved relative or friend, right? And those can be fun occasions, can't they be? It's gonna be more exciting than any of that. But for those who choose to ignore Christ as Savior, the inevitable event of Christ's second coming that begins with the rapture should be a warning. For even Jesus says that no one knows the day or the hour that Christ will appear. Christ welcomes us all to accept him. But the warning is clear, as Jesus tells us even in John's Gospel, chapter 3. Now, all of us are familiar with John, chapter 3, verse 16. What? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but what? Have eternal life. We say that verse over and over and over again because it's so heartwarming. What we must remember is that there are a couple of verses, 17 and 18, right after verse 16. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge. Now, we know he's going to be the judge, but we know he's primarily what? The Savior. Not to be its judge, but to be its Savior. Then verse 18, however. Whoever believes in the Son is not judged. But whoever does not believe has already been judged because he has not believed in God's only Son. So there's a warning in there, is there not? It's not kinda or maybe. It really is an either or based upon one's confession. Now next week, we're gonna be looking at the next step, as I would believe it to be. And again, be aware, there's commentary about, well, no, maybe that's not the next step. I will propose it at the next step. The next step, I believe, is what we call the judgment seat of Christ. Have you ever heard of that? What is this judgment seat of Christ? Well, let's find out next week. So you got to come back, right? But for today, as I ask you every Sunday, do you know with certainty that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as you have accepted him as Lord and Savior, as you have also sought repentance from your sin? If not, today is that day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can truly be transformed. Maybe today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation as we turn to our hymn of invitation, number 343. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home. We'll sing the first and fourth stanzas, please.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? us is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is pleading, oh, list to his voice, hear him today, hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice, quickly arise and obey. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today.
And again, remember, next Sunday, 4 o'clock afternoon, we'll be going over to the Thomas's place to celebrate and share in the Fall Festival, a wonderful event for us to experience. And we look forward to you sharing in that. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, as we depart from your house, we know that indeed it is in Christ that we are redeemed. Through him, we are privileged to share in your eternal glory. This is our great hope and the joy of our lives as we depart and go about the task of this new week. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now am found, was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, praise than when we